and welcome back for another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis.
I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX.
In honor of Veterans Day, today we're talking with Dan Drydock Shockley. Dan served for 22 years in the U.S. Navy. He served during Operation Desert Storm, Enduring Freedom, and Iraqi Freedom. You may recall that he spoke with us earlier this year about his battle against hereditary colon cancer. How are you doing today, Dan?
I'm doing great.
First, let me say thank you for your service to our country, and also Jean and Lita, thank you as well.
Thank you, Ron. Hello, Dan, and thanks for joining us on this wonderful Veterans Day. So glad that we were able to get you back on the show.
Well, it's an honor to be back as a guest for your Veterans Day themed podcast.
Wonderful.
Dan, can we start off by, by asking you what inspired you to join the military and the Navy, especially?
Well, that's a great question. I grew up in the Philadelphia area. So my childhood, I get to visit the Independence Hall, the Liberty Bell, Betsy Ross's house, and Valley Forge, among other numerous historical sites. And that intrigued my curiosity about our military history at an early age.
Yeah, you are right in the heart of American history right there.
Yeah, for sure. Were you always interested in the Navy, or is that something that just happened because of career choice or something?
Well, I'd always thought about the Navy. I liked the water. I liked being around the water, the ocean, especially salt water. So I figured, well, the world's covered by 75% water. If I join the Navy, I have a real good chance of seeing the world.
Oh, that's for sure. That's
and that
sure.
I did.
Great.
Dan could be one of our scuba divers.
Yeah. I think the only reason I did not want to join the Navy is because I thought, you put me on the ocean without a fishing pole, and I won't know what to do.
You would need quite a long line from that pole if you even had one.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that. My first ship was a submarine rescue ship, and it was about 250 feet long, about 40 feet wide, and we're home ported out of Charleston, South Carolina. So we spent a lot of time down in the Caribbean.
Oh, okay.
And we actually did get to go fishing quite a few times down there.
Oh, excellent.
And once we saw sharks in the water, we'd secure, we started swimming. We had swim call. We'd jump off the fantail of the ship.
Yeah.
And then we had the crew was only 88 sailors. And officers were six officers, and the rest of us were enlisted. Well, of the crew, 20 of the sailors were certified divers.
Okay. You know,
some of them were hard hats, some of them were scuba. Mm-hmm. So when we had a break in our mission, the captain would let us go swimming. Some of us, not all of us, we had duty, obviously.
Right.
So we have two Mars boats or Zodiac boats. Mm-hmm. So three divers would get in each Mars boat and circle the ship as we're swimming.
Okay.
And they had rifles with them. So as soon as they saw a shark, they would secure a swim call. We'd commence fish call. Then we'd start fishing and catch whatever we could.
Oh, wow.
Then next time we pulled in port, we'd barbecue the fish on the beach.
Okay.
Oh, very cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
Maybe I could go back and try the Navy this time.
Well, we had seen some incredible Caribbean reef sharks down in Honduras.
Did you?
The diving with them was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll avoid diving with sharks. Thank you very much. Dan?
Yeah, I just like to stay on the surface myself.
Yes, me too. Recent studies have shown that most men, in particular, do not get the recommended regular preventative medical examinations. Do you feel that retired military personnel are more likely to get their routine exams?
You know, I tend to believe our military experience attributes to taking preventative measures, which for me transitions into my civilian life.
So you think that does help Maybe because we're so
yeah,
used
absolutely.
To it. Yeah, we're so used to it. I mean, they made it seem like it was just the
right
next best thing to slice bread, you know. Everybody goes for their vaccines, everybody goes for dental, everybody goes for preventative to make sure that you're ready to deploy, right?
Absolutely. And it also ties in with our operational readiness of our equipment, our systems on the ship. We have to do maintenance on those. So we have a schedule for that. And then, of course, in medical, you know, our examinations and dental examinations, that's on an annual basis unless there's reasons to get seen sooner.
Right.
But to me, that all just, you know, it's a smooth transition for me right into to civilian life.
Right.
I just carried the same mindset.
Good, good. It set the stage for a healthy life. Good.
Well, I guess kind of answers the next question I had about your military service, how it influences now how you approach life.
Yeah, the annual examinations were part of my life, and then for me, that, you know, I receive regular medical examinations at my local VA medical center.
Okay, and is that convenient for you? Is it within, you know, driving distance?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not too far away. I mean, I go to Mather VA, which is in East Sacramento. It's part of the Northern California VA healthcare system.
Okay.
And I'm, you know, about 27 miles away from it, but it's close and it's convenient. Now, that being said, that's for my primary care doctor,
right,
and my ophthalmology examinations. Now, for my GI related surveillance, which we'll talk about in a little bit here, that's all performed down in Palo Alto VA Medical Center. My routine surveillance is very unique,
mm-hmm,
and it requires the director of the GI clinic in Palo Alto VA,
okay,
Medical Center to perform my endoscopic procedures.
Oh,
okay. So you need it, yeah.
Specialized care,
yeah.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
And Dan, were you taught any stress management techniques while serving in the Navy?
Well, you know, what I've learned and what I've experienced in the Navy, it conditioned me to plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Okay.
And I've also learned how to adapt, improvise, and overcome. And then this approach, you know, it's helped me overcome personal and professional adversity.
Oh, very good.
What about relaxation techniques for falling asleep? Were you ever taught those during your military service?
No. What I learned, I mean, I listened to music. That was a technique that I recall from my early Navy days, especially while underway. You know, listening to music as I fell asleep has been part of my life growing up, and that carried over to my retired life. And then in recent years, I've been an avid listener of a radio station called VietnamVetRadio.org, and it's a nonprofit. It's a 24-hour radio station online, and it plays commercial-free music from 1955 to 1975. So that all the music listening to for me, this is just been amazing. It helps me relax.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, especially on the ships when they're underway,
mm-hmm,
because there's so many things going on, and we're working 12 on, 12 off.
Okay.
So you know, you're busy. You're working, you know, a day shift for a month, and then you switch over. Because we get underway, you're on deployment for 6 months. Well, I was on deployment for 6 months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
These days, I'm sure the deployments are a lot longer than that. But for me, the technique was music.
Okay.
Great.
Well, I'm glad that they allowed you to do that.
Yeah, and that you had access to it. Yeah.
Right. Dan, how did your working in the service affect your level of physical fitness throughout your life?
Well, you know, our active duty responsibilities and physical fitness is about making adjustments. you have to create a on the deployments, you have to be creative when it comes to your physical fitness. So being flexible and retaining a positive attitude is key. And flexible, what I mean, not just your body, but with your schedule. There's so many different things, you know.
Right. I'm sure that what you're referring to is the fact that, like, you're 12 on and 12 off. You know, if you're off, right, you've got to fit it in there when you can. And but they do encourage you to stay physically fit because that helps keep your mind sharp and your body healthy, mm-hmm. right?
And I can see where you're saying you have to kind
oh,
of...
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's a requirement, yeah.
Okay.
And I can see where you said, you know, creative, because, like, I personally, I guess now I can think of, like, TRX or things like that, but trying to stay physically fit on a submarine seems like a challenge.
Right.
So, Dan...
Yeah, absolutely.
We are obviously, everybody knows, we're still in the COVID pandemic, and recently it's made the news quite a bit about RSV. As a matter of fact, we are doing an episode on that as well. How did your military service influence your feelings toward vaccinations?
Well, you know, vaccinations, they're a part of my Navy career from the onset. And I have no reservations receiving them. And of course, that carries over to my retired life. And, you know, preventative measures, they're important to me.
Right, sure.
Like last week, I just received my latest booster.
Okay.
Okay, good. Did you get the Omicron booster?
Yeah, that one I got earlier this year. I go every 6 months and get the, get the boosters.
Good.
So whatever the lineup is, I just
latest and greatest,
yeah.
Right?
But
well,
then,
good.
Update my card.
Yep.
Right. Yep. And Dan, how did your time serving overseas influence your approach to working in a group?
Wow. Yeah, teamwork. I learned is a very important piece to completing each mission. You know, in preparation for each deployment, we receive extensive training on better preparing us to be diversified. And that's for that, for the teamwork, being diversified is very important to me.
So are you saying that you should be able to handle more tasks than what you're typically given? Because if a teammate falls, you have to take over that position. Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You have to be flexible that way. And, you know, there's just numerous opportunities where something comes up, and, you know, multitasking, you know, that was big. We had collateral duties, and so you just have to be able to step up when you're called to do so. Or if you see something, go ahead and, make a recommendation, or just help out the team any way you can.
Good advice.
Yeah, that's great that has to be a great carryover. In the civilian world as well.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, have you received any treatments for PTSD?
Well, you know, during my VA intake, when I retired back in 2003, mm-hmm. I was screened for PTSD and I didn't show any signs.
Okay.
And I'm sure that was at the VA hospital. Dan, what surprised you the most about the VA healthcare system?
My personal experience, the attention to detail during my medical examinations for my service-connected medical conditions, as well as preventative screening, such as colorectal cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, in 2012, I received my first and only colonoscopy, and I was 51 years old. It was a regular schedule. The results revealed 100 polyps embedded throughout my colon, rectum, and anus. My GI doctor, bless his heart, he suspected that there was an underlying issue. He immediately referred me to the certified genetic counselor at Triple Army Medical Center there in Hawaii. The VA Medical Center is on the same campus as Tripler.
Okay.
And so what happened is germline DNA testing was initiated, which revealed that I have the hereditary colon cancer syndrome known as attenuated familial adenomatous polyposis. Now, I know that's a mouthful. It's a lot to digest.
Right.
We just use the acronym AFAP.
Okay.
And of course, sense of humor. You have to have humor.
Yeah.
That helps along.
Yeah.
So shortly after my diagnosis, I underwent successful total proctocolectomy surgery. Now, what that means is they removed my colon, rectum, and anus, and I'm outfitted with a with an ostomy.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is, the reason that is, was the surgery was performed is because any of those polyps left unattended have a 100% chance of developing the colon cancer.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
I had educated myself that this mutation was significant to where it was in the best practice of medicine to have this surgery to prevent the mutation from metastasizing in other organs.
Okay.
And then as a result of this mutation, annually, I undergo endoscopic surveillance of my stomach and small intestine, which is directly related to my AFAP diagnosis.
Okay.
Now in 2020, the routine endoscopic surveillance, it revealed a 3-centimeter adenoma in the beginning of my small intestine.
Oh, that had
my GI scary. Doctor at Palo Alto, you know, well, the thing is, I'm prepared. I'm gonna plan for the worst, hope for the best.
Right.
And my GI doctor, Palo Alto VA Medical Center, he recommended that I consider an invasive surgery to spare my pancreas. So this meant that I would need to have a referral to Stanford University Hospital, which it was approved, and I underwent a surgery known as a pancreas sparing duodenectomy resection. And that was successfully performed in April of 2021. Now, what that means in layman's terms, they removed approximately 60 centimeters of the beginning of my small intestine because the 3-centimeter adenoma was halfway in that 60-centimeter section. The surgeon, he redid the bile ducts to my pancreas.
Okay.
And they also removed my gallbladder.
Okay.
So what this means, and I still have to go through and routine surveillance. I think we're going to go every 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, and by the way, I'm a patient at Stanford University Hospital for the rest of my life.
Okay.
I have to see my surgeon. He's one of the nation's leading pancreatic cancer surgeons. Now, keep in mind, I did not have pancreatic cancer. Mm-hmm. However, if the mutation, that adenoma would have continued to metastasize, I would have had a very good chance of getting, you know, or being diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So it's all preventative. It goes back to the preventative measures.
Sure.
You know? And then, you know, so I'm thankful that I have a great medical team, you know, that that helped me along the way. And I educate, I continue to educate myself. So I actually know so much about my condition that I carry a binder with me everywhere I am in the medical community. It's like 60 some pages, double sided now, of all my history.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have good conversations with a lot of my medical professionals.
Yes, very
That's
important.
Actually good advice for everybody.
Right, yeah. Very important.
And, yeah, they should bring you in to talk with medical students to give them a, you know, a more in-depth view of things.
Well, that's interesting you mentioned that. I am a virtual international live case presentation for numerous platforms, Rutgers University, Nord Students for Rare Disease, the University of Texas Health Center. I'm a live case presentation for their GI students in the third year of residency. There's approximately 200 that attend that. That's the first Friday of every December, so that's coming up a month from now.
Okay.
I'm on the advisory board for the University of Michigan Genetic Hereditary Testing. And I'm on board with the Vanderbilt University Medical Center for their inherited cancer registry. And I'm working with my certified genetic counselor at Stanford University to get on board to collaborate with them for anything I can provide input for their genomics and genetics departments, respectively, as well as their GI team.
Wow. So you have been an ongoing person. You know, your service has continued on. So
Right. Even
though you're a military veteran, you're continuing to serve and support and help others through all of this work that you're doing as well, which is just fantastic. Thank you for that as well.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was an honor to be an ambassador for the world's greatest Navy for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now I consider myself an ambassador for the colon cancer preventative measures. You know, I've been doing this for 10 years now. So, you know, this carries right over. It's been a smooth transition. Because I, you know, my mindset is I tend not to think about things I'm unable to control, such as medical issues.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What I can control is my positive attitude. And after 5 decades on God's green earth, my positive attitude has brought me this far. Mm-hmm. Why change now?
Sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Excellent advice. Hey, Dan, what do you wish you knew before joining the Navy?
Well, there's a lot. I've learned. That's a real good question. That's a hard question.
Mm-hmm.
Like
wish you knew that?
Yeah, if you knew something before you joined the Navy, you might have done something a little different.
Or it may have made things easier.
Right. Advice for up and coming plebes, you know?
Are they called?
Well, yeah, that's for the Naval Academy side.
Okay, I was going to say.
That was on the enlisted side. So
okay.
That's a whole different world.
Okay.
No, I mean, you can read about something,
mm-hmm.
until you experience it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different world. And I mean that in a positive sense. So I read a lot about, what my skill set. I was a radioman, back in the day, and I read about that and I thought that would be pretty cool. And once I get out there, and of course, being on the shipboard life is so much different than anything I've ever experienced. Now, which is an interesting segue because of this conversation, because on the ships, we have each space, each office is called a compartment.
Okay.
And what we had to do is, in damage control, is you had to secure, you had to confine, whether it's a flooding or a fire. So we had to do a compartmentalization. Well, I do that in my, we learned to do that in our life, and I do that. I'm very good at that,
mm-hmm.
Compartmentalize things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but I didn't know anything about that at the time, but, until you get in there, and it was a very positive experience. I mean, there was a lot of learning that went on for, the 7 different ships I was assigned to, 3 of them deployed to the Persian Gulf. And, try to read as much as you can about it, and then ask lots of questions to veterans. Everyone's going to have a different, they're going to accept things, differently.
Sure.
I learned a very valuable lesson in life. We have 2 choices. We can react or we can respond. Now, by responding, I gather information so I can make a logical, intelligent decision,
mm-hmm.
versus by reacting, you kind of shoot from the hip and you make a rash decision that you may later regret.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's...
That's
absolutely.
Very good advice.
I hope that helps.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
For
absolutely.
Sure. Thank you.
And Dan, how was being a war, or how has being a war veteran changed how you approach daily challenges?
Well, be ever vigilant. I'm always, thinking about that. Preventive preparation is also key, and don't take anything for granted. And the ability to adapt, improvise, and overcome.
Mm-hmm.
In hopes of overcoming personal and professional adversity, that's also very important that I've learned through my military experience.
Yeah, that's
amazing advice.
Definitely good advice.
Mm-hmm.
And how have your experiences changed how you view risk and safety now?
Well, I try to be aware of my surroundings, and I minimize taking unnecessary risks. I mean, just short and sweet.
Yeah.
Again, good advice.
Yeah.
Common sense.
Well, yeah, but it's
not
common
enough
sense,
of
but
that,
you don't,
not enough of that running around.
It's stuff that you don't think of.
Yeah.
Right.
So we are going to look forward to the Dan Dry Dock Shockley, you know, book of daily advice.
Yes, common sense every day.
Yeah, a wonderful common sense thing to do and, yeah, get you through the day. Dan, what helps you keep stress and anger in check?
Well, it's a work in progress. I mean, obviously listening to music is the most effective way for me. And then gardening is another avenue. Fortunately, where I'm at, we can have spring, summer crops, and we can also have winter crops. So that's been really, kind of like back to nature kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I enjoy that.
Right. Do you dehydrate?
In fact, a bird came by and dropped some seeds. And what happened is there's this wild grapevine growing in our side lot,
mm-hmm.
that is listed as a desert grape.
Oh.
And or some other terms, it's called a coyote grape.
Okay.
Now, I have never seen this type of grape. However, it's growing. Mm-hmm. It's growing faster and more invasive than my seedless grapevines.
Okay.
So I'm just going to let this thing go down the fence line. But
sure,
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, nice volunteer plant.
Yeah. I love it when the birds help you plant things.
Yeah, they like to mix it up.
Oh, yeah. That's, I love it.
Dan, before we sign off, what advice do you have for members of the military if they're getting ready to enter retirement?
Preparation is very important. And for me, the Transition Assistance Program, that provided invaluable information for my transition to civilian life. And after all, I served on active duty for 22 years. And then the big thing with that, make a copy of your medical record or records.
Mm-hmm.
And then I highly recommend that the veterans register with their local VA medical center once they retire, so they can be evaluated for their service-connected medical issues.
Excellent advice.
Yes.
Very good advice. Well, Dan, I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to join us again today.
Yeah, thank you, Dan, mm-hmm. and thank you for your service and your continued service.
Yes.
And helping everyone out there. That's amazing.
And once again...
Well, thank you very much. I'm honored for the opportunity.
And again, as I'm probably the only non-military person here, thank you again for your service and also for joining us today. And lastly, what can you say, how can our listeners learn more about Dan Dry Dock Shockley? Is there anything you...
Well, that's a great question. Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn under Dan Dry Dock Shockley.
Okay.
And then Twitter... My handle is Dry Shockley. That was assigned. I don't know how that happened, but Dan Dry Dock Shockley on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And Twitter is Dry Shockley, and those are my two main platforms that I utilize. And it's mostly for my being a live case presentation,
mm-hmm. right,
internationally. So that's what I use it for. Just to get the word out there, to be a source of inspiration and encouragement for those, who hear or read about my journey.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Excellent.
Yeah,
and,
thank you for that.
We definitely need more people like you that are open and giving and understanding
that
knowledge is power, mm-hmm. and those yearly exams make so much of a difference in our lives, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm a very giving person. I mean, I've given my gallbladder to medical science, my colon, my rectum, my anus.
Yeah.
I'm a very giving person.
Yes, you
but
are.
You gotta have a sense of humor,
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, so the acronym AFAP, I took a positive spin on this bleak diagnosis, and I created a mantra: always forge ahead with a purpose.
Oh, yeah.
If you take the first letters of each of those words,
sure.
Yes.
And that, I like that.
That was an epiphany. That just, I woke up in the middle of the night, about a year after my surgery. And that the first two words of my mind were forge ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, forge ahead, that's good, but forge ahead what? Forge ahead with a purpose. And I said, well, that's FAP. And FAP is a mutation. It's how do I describe this? That is a more common diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Now, because of my age of 51, I had attenuated FAP, which is a subvariant of FAP.
Okay.
So that being said, I wanted to create an acronym. I thought it'd be nice to create a mantra based on that acronym.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, what am I always doing? I'm always forging ahead with purpose. And that's how that happened.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, we're gonna definitely put links for that on our website. Mm-hmm. And if our listeners have any questions.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Pinterest, TikTok, Instagram, and we're still on Twitter.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcasts.
And please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.